Hey guys, welcome to Geeky Boss Presents Read, Watch, Play episode 18. I'm Christoph.
I'm Stu.
I'm Billy.
So this episode, big one. We basically just talk a whole bunch of pop culture. We talk about Will Smith for like a solid 20 minutes.
Yes.
A lot of Smith-based talk. We also talk a bit about what we've been reading, watching, playing, as the title suggests. And quickly, of course, talk about like Game of Thrones. How could you not at this time of year?
All spoiler free.
Oh, 100%, no spoilers. Yeah.
Exactly. That's what you want.
Now, of course, you guys, by you guys I mean Billy and Stu, you guys have a new podcast you're doing.
Yes, we do. We like to watch. Up to episode 4.
Yeah, because we do like to watch. It's available in iTunes.
And the concept is you guys see a movie and talk about it.
Yeah, basically. And then what we go over, what we've been watching that week, any suggestions, movie news. Awesome. General chit-chat, some banter, and some tomfoolery now and then.
We have been known to both tomfool and banter.
Yes, and we've got some guests coming. We've got some guests lined up.
It's, oh, awesome.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah. Plus, on Geek of Oz, Geek of Oz end, I believe Chris got to chat with the devs of The Witcher 3 Blood and Wine, the new expansion.
Yeah, but he can't talk about it.
It's all under embargo, so we can't talk about it, except that it's a game.
Yeah. Ooh, can we go that far?
When is he allowed to talk about it?
I'm not quite sure when the embargo is.
Late May,
I think. As soon as the embargo is out, we'll drop content on that. So if you're a Witcher fan, keep tuned.
I'm starting Witcher 3 this week.
Oh, man.
There you go.
Enjoy. Say goodbye to 80 hours of your life.
I've not played Witcher 1 or 2, though.
I hadn't either, and I broke the shit out of the game.
Yeah.
All right, well, enjoy, guys.
You are listening to Geek of Oz Presents Read, Watch, Play. We discuss all things pop culture, including comics, video games, TV, film, and anime.
Wait, so what's your name?
It's Christoph. It's been a while.
Yes, it has been.
It's been a little bit of a while. And
I forgot how much you look like Zod.
Really? You know, when I shave my head, I reckon I look more like Russell Crowe and Noah.
Yes.
See, I never watched Noah.
You know what?
And you had the rock monster as well,
but you know what? I'm paying him a compliment. I'm saying original Zod, movie Zod. What was his name?
Terrence Stamp.
Terrence Stamp.
That's nice. Thank you.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm glad you're not associating me with the DC Cinematic Universe.
Although Michael Shannon is... let's not go there.
I was going to say, so we were talking about Will Smith before.
Yeah.
How you missed fun Will Smith.
Sexy Will Smith. I'm going to say it. He's sexy. He is. No, he... That was something that really worked from all... That's what I miss about his films, when he used to be like a little bit cheeky.
Like in I think Men in Black's such a good example of...
Yeah, like a little bit goofy. And I just feel that he's gone... Yeah, recent years, he's just taken it to a level that... I don't know.
I think I've only partially seen Men in Black 2. I have not seen Men in Black 3.
Men in Black 3 is good.
Yeah, it's fun. Yeah.
Roland's impression of...
Tommy Lee Jones is brilliant. Good. And Michael Stuhlbarg is...
I like Roland.
Yeah, Roland's great.
And you know what? Even Jermaine Clement is all right in the villain.
Yeah.
All things considered.
I don't know. Like, I just wouldn't... I want to see... Like, this is what annoyed me. We were talking before about Django with Jamie Foxx.
Yeah.
Apparently, that was originally meant to be Will Smith.
Really?
In that role,
I think Will Smith was
They clashed over script with Tarantino.
And I think he didn't want to play a part of a slave.
Yeah.
Well, it's something to do with maybe the fact that a white guy's putting, like, the N-word in a screenplay 200 times. Did that... Maybe
I
that... Like,
okay, it's been...
Does Tarantino do anything else but that? At the moment?
Wait. Are you talking about Django or are you talking about the other one?
I'm talking about Django.
Yeah.
Because what was the other one?
Hateful Eight.
Hateful Eight has the N-word in it way more than Django.
Wow, that's... Surely at this point he's just breaking his own record.
But see, it's basically... It's like Game of Thrones. They're like, oh no, we can include all the rape because that's what they did back then. And you're like, how about you don't make it about that? And you're but that's historically accurate. They use the N-word. Yeah, but... Doesn't
we've
mean we
on.
Have to see
yeah,
it on screen every other time. Yeah, so, but I'd like to see Will Smith work. I mean, he's still, I think he's come back a bit from the height of his powers. I'd like to see him work with a director with a bit of a stronger hand. You get the sense that he's probably got a pretty big sway over what he...
Will Smith.
No, I just want him like in just someone who's a bit, probably uses him a bit better as a tool more than he's getting used to the moment.
Wasn't there something with Men in Black 3 where he demanded like a giant trailer and there were some ego issues going on there?
Really?
That's what I heard, and I wouldn't be surprised.
And that's when the studio went, it's Men in Black 3. How much do you think, how much pulling power do you think you got at this stage?
I have heard he has had ego. Like, he used to fight with people on, he used to argue with people on set on, you know, Fresh Prince.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, and like, the original mother and him clashed. Well, not his mother, I mean, he's the original person who played his aunt.
Yeah, okay.
But and she got fired after the third season.
I get that, because they are their own brand, and they've got to be very protective of that brand. And at the end of the day, they're playing on such a global stage that they can't afford. Like, the same used to be for Ed Norton. Like, Ed Norton used to rewrite scripts and used to go to war over stuff because he's like, "This is me." At the end of the day, I'm the one that's going to be. You're going to be remembering this as an Ed Norton film.
That's true.
And when you all fall away, I'm going to be left out front.
Yeah, to be honest, I haven't seen Hulk, the Incredible Hulk, in a long time. I think it's mainly because I've never been able to find it on Blu-ray.
Pretty decent.
Yeah,
look, I like it, but it is, I don't know, I prefer the newer Hulk to Edward Norton Hulk.
You know how they make it so different?
Okay.
They make that the hero gets a power, and at the same time, the villain gets the same power,
and
then they clash at the end because they're opposite sides of the coin.
Yin and yang.
And there's dramatic tension.
You know what,
I know, it's something completely different for a Marvel property.
I can't remember. The actor that plays the part of the villain in that film.
Tim Roth.
Yeah, I really like
Tim
Roth.
Is it Tim Roth?
Yeah. He's great. As Abomination or whatever he is.
He's like, God, really bad with names lately. He plays the part of Commissioner Gordon in Batman.
Gary...
Gary Oldman.
Yeah.
Tim Roth is
sounds like two words, one syllable.
Tim Roth is like Gary Oldman. Like, they transform themselves to a role and like totally different. Like, if you look at all of Gary Oldman's roles that he's played in various films, they are not alike at all.
Yeah,
like, his American amazing. Accent is so good.
Yeah,
it feels so weird.
His Tinker accent. Taylor Soldier Spy is still one of my favourite performances by him as George Smiley.
What? I know Commissioner Gordon was such, he just nailed that role so much.
And it's what is it? Vampire once as well.
Yeah, and that's why it's going to be interesting to see what J.K. Simmons does with his Gordon.
I assume he'll just get angry and demand picture for Spider-Man.
Wrong property. Wrong. Shut up.
Wait, did we just mention Spider-Man?
We did. Are we going to go into a
Spider-Man rant? I don't know. I read something recently.
A Spider rant, if you will.
Well, I read something recently where they said that
Spider rant. Spider rant.
The Russos were saying that, look, as much as like Spider-Man was going to be in Spider-Man, okay. Spoiler alert, Spider-Man is in Civil War.
Spoiler for the trailer.
It's only I feel like it's in the trailer, it's safe.
Yeah, but the Russo said that while Marvel is doing the treatment and helping on creation of new Spider-Man stuff for Sony, as it's sort of part of the Marvel Universe, apparently it's going to be slightly different to the Spider-Man that was in
the Marvel Civil War. Okay.
Like, I don't know. I don't know about serious or tones or anything, but I don't know, maybe...
Are we gonna learn how he got his powers? That's a big interest point for me.
You know what? I saw something recently on Twitter where it was like...
I'm being...
Sony, look, we're taking forever. Like, look, let's retell his origin and everything. But we've failed, like, you know, what, two times? Well, let Marvel have a try. Bang, 20 minutes.
Yeah, they've nailed
if
it.
If that. I got bitten. I can do
some
stuff.
Shit happened.
Here's me catching a car.
I'm gonna be honest. I didn't have any problem with like the betrayal of Spider-Man, but I just didn't see why he needed to be in the film.
Look, I felt like that. I've had a few people that have said that. Like, you could easily take Spidey away out of the film,
and nothing would change.
Yeah, but would you take that shooing in of him into that? I would take that over a standalone film to get to the same point.
Okay, that's fair.
Like, if it saves us doing, like. If we can now to the next film, just start with him swinging into action, chasing a villain.
Yeah, that's okay.
Like, that's, instead of starting all from, and just slowly going, okay, this is who Mary Jane is. This is like, you know, and just let us happen a bit more organically instead of like, he's on a field trip one day to, you know, Evil Incorporated and finds a new way.
And a spider bite.
Yeah, like, I don't know. I just.
And now
I'd prefer like him. Say it in the Spider-Man film in 20 minutes, and that's it.
Then
like a flashback.
I was very critical of the BVS. Like, really, did we need to see the Wayne shot again?
Yeah, like, I'm pretty sure people have made like supercuts. It's like 20 minutes of all the times they've done.
But like, we get it.
Either Wayne's, Bruce Wayne's
getting shot in BVS. Like, God, again, start shooing it. Like, is there anywhere in the world now that you can't just show the bat symbol in the air and the tumbler hitting the streets to go,
you know,
Batman's here. Yeah. And we know why he is. And he's a known quantity. The same with, like, you know, I don't know.
Speaking of BBS,
yeah.
It's funny how much that sounds like BS.
Yeah, no. Last night, my partner and I, we went to bed early, but ended up just watching funny YouTube clips on the internet in bed.
Living the dream.
Yeah. You know the How It Should Have Ended?
Yeah.
Sometimes it's funny, sometimes it's not. I did want a BBS. They had like about 10 different endings that could have worked for BBS, which some were bad, some were quite funny. It was like, wow.
All better.
Hated the film if they did 10 different endings.
Yeah, all better than what Snyder came up with.
You can just see the animator, like, I don't care how long this takes, we're going to be here all night. I have to work. This is about me working out some demons.
Yeah, some childhood issues.
So Chris isn't with us, but that's because
it sounds like he passed away.
No. He's here in spirit, around the corner, because it's Free Comic Book Day today. And Chris is either at King's Comics or Kinokuniya or Comic Kingdom.
You know what, this morning Chris sent me a message because I opted out. For the last like 2 years, every time I've gone to Free Comic Book Day, I always say, I'm too old for this shit, why am I here? I'm surrounded by people. I don't like people. What am I doing here?
And you shanked a guy last year. I mean, it was self-defense in the end.
Allegedly.
But, yeah, I mean, you got off. But
he shanked him with a comic book. That's pretty hard.
It was heinous. As you can still find allegedly. The footage online. He had the mask. Anyway, yeah.
Yeah, the line. Anyway, so Chris told me the line was like insane. I had a small feeling of satisfaction that I made the right call.
Chalk that up for a win. Win for Christo.
I need the win, Stu.
It's still in line.
I'm just going to put this out there. I feel like in Sydney, and I feel like in Australia, because we have so few comic shops in comparison to America, where like most towns would have like a local comic shop or whatever. The ones we get, we have two in the city, and they pretty much get swamped every Comic Book Day.
We've got two in the city. I mean, there is a third one, but hardly anyone goes to it. It's not the greatest comic book store. Sorry, I'm going to be brutally honest.
Names. And why?
There is a few in the western suburbs. There's one in
Liverpool.
Comic book shop where Supreme Leader Ryan got his start, and I've heard it's a good store.
He should not be named.
I go there every now and again on Free Comic Book Day because most stores for Free Comic Book Day have sales. I go there because they have cheap boxes and sleeves for storing comics.
Okay.
Little tip for the listeners. Life tip.
It is a great day though because it gets people that normally wouldn't be in the store in the store, and it gets lots of kids in the store as well. And you know, reading is good.
And we're going to be giving away this episode for free as part of Free Comic Book Day, aren't we? This is a cheeky one for the subscribers.
Let's just hop on those coattails.
Here we are.
For you,
they're coming for me. You'll never take me alive, you sons of bitches.
So, do we want to? I've noticed you've got the news on your phone about they've officially cast.
It's like 99.9%. According to the things that pop up in my Facebook feed, that means they have.
Websites, as
I like to call them, my sources in Hollywood. Alden Ehrenreich. Is
Household. It's such an easy name to pronounce.
It just falls off the tongue. He looks like he's been cast as young Han Solo, which even in this shot looks. I mean, I think he's going to look. I think he looks the part. I don't think we need. The only thing that's keeping me afloat about a Han Solo's standalone film, I think it's the dumbest idea at the moment. The only thing I like about it is that it's Phil Lord and Chris Miller making it. And they made Lego Movie, Cloudy with Chance of Meatballs, 21 Jump Street, 1 and 2. I think they they produced number 2.
That's a pretty good rap sheet.
They get pop culture. Yeah. They get where all the buttons are. If anyone saw their little Star Wars clip in Lego Movie, it's a great little sort of touch. Obviously, this has got a whole new set of challenges, but I can't see, like, if anyone saw Hail Caesar, the new Coen Brothers film, this kid just stole the show. He is phenomenal. Like, he's got a great presence. But I only just caught American Graffiti recently, which was...
I've not seen that stuff.
Harrison Ford. I think it would have been the film he made just before... I think it was just before Star Wars.
Yeah.
George Lucas made it. So, and it would be probably in the same, like, age range to what Alden is now. And it's a really different... Like, you could think back, like, not so much the concept of what Han Solo is... But you go back to, he was kind of like that sort of jock, sort of quarterback kind of guy. Like, he's not the sort
like
of...
space jock.
Yeah, sort
are
of.
Are we talking about Han Solo or Harrison Ford?
Harrison Ford and sort of that, yeah. What he was in A New
Hope.
He was
a carpenter.
Yeah, but he's not like...
Fun fact, Jesus was also a carpenter. Free podcast.
There you go. Chocolata. So, they've got very similar skill set.
I'm not saying that... Han Solo is Jesus.
Well, you can't rule it out.
Both are white, both now dead.
He did look like Jesus as well.
And both died with a saber through the chest. So
I'm not going to stab you through the chest.
That's a bit fun because I'm an atheist.
But what what do you guys think of a Han Solo standalone film? Do we need it?
You know I'm not super invested in Star Wars.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay. I just got the finger from Billy.
But do we need?
I'm showing him the finger. I'm not giving him.
No, that'll happen off.
That's the R18 version of the podcast.
Off the record. Yeah. What do you reckon, Billy?
Look, I don't mind... Okay, we've seen the trailer for the first sort of spin-off film.
Rogue One.
And that looked amazing.
Yep.
I don't mind... Look, I'm happy to wait and see. Like, I don't mind them doing a young... Because, I mean, there is so many stories out there. Like, in the Expanded Universe, there were so many stories. Yes, the Expanded Universe is not...
You mean,
current anymore.
You mean all the fan fiction that you now
the
own?
The slash fiction.
Yes. Dickhead. Sorry. Yeah, but no, look, I mean, I'm happy to wait. And I mean, I saw a lot of comments on it. Like, a lot of the people that are negative about it are very much like, why? So, you know, like, should be
That's exactly what I'm hearing now every time I see a comment.
I'm surprised that people are so down on this film, given how positive they were about the new Ghostbusters.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just ridiculous. Like, speaking of Ghostbusters though, trying to figure out, one of the actresses said the trailer, they thought the trailer was confusing.
Yeah.
What's it? Oh, yes.
Kate McKinnon?
Not Kate McKinnon. What's her name?
Leslie Jones.
No. Leslie Jones, Kristen not Wiig. The other one.
Melissa McCarthy.
Yeah. Melissa McCartney on a radio show or a podcast or whatever said that she thought the trailer was, the first trailer was confusing because it's not a sequel or anything, it's a reboot, so why put the whole 20 years later thing in it?
Because it's nostalgia, and everyone wants nostalgia.
But it's like, she thought, like, you know, you only confuse some people because not everyone
I think at this stage...
on the clue.
I feel so sad that it's going to be... I have said it. I'm now probably... I'm about quadrupling down.
Just double down, Stu.
I'm quadrupling down on how much I am excited for this film.
Oh, yeah, I am too.
But
after I saw the Chris Hemsworth thing, I even got more excited.
I don't think there's a film this year that is dead on arrival like this. I don't know why there's this sudden hate. I don't know if it's just the bullshit misogyny of the internet.
It's just misogyny of the internet.
But I just don't know why we're holding up this... Ghostbusters as this sacred cow that can't be touched.
Look, it's the misogyny of the internet. Because, like, last night, myself and my partner, we'll get into this in the watch section, but we were watching some Netflix, and there was a trailer on there for Chelsea Handler's new show, a Netflix show.
Yeah.
Did you watch Chelsea Does?
Yes, I did. I didn't mind Chelsea Does.
Some
were a bit off.
Maybe I just thought it was self-indulgent that she's like a comedian and now can just make a documentary about what she's interested in. Maybe I just got annoyed that I'm not at that
stage. You want to do it?
Somewhere off. But for the most part, it was pretty good. But this is just like a throwback to... She's doing a talk show. And so there was some article about her and everything. And I had a look at all the comments on Facebook. And literally all the people that were saying that she's not funny were men.
Of course.
And like, look, nothing against... But like, that is such
the men are shit.
That's just the misogyny
We've caused most of the problems in the world.
Yeah, it's just the misogyny of the internet. Like, I really want sometimes to be like full on Jay and Silent Bob and go to everyone's door and knock on everyone's door and be
But that's the thing, it doesn't feel like it's... I'm not saying that you can't be critical of someone. If you say someone's not funny, they're not funny. So be it. Yeah. But it just seems to be a consistency to the criticisms that...
I think part of it is, right, that for so long all media is catered to straight white males, and straight white males aren't used to the fact that maybe some things aren't aimed at them.
Yeah, and maybe the shift in the actual focus now, they're like, and now the straight white male goes, but when's it coming back to being my turn?
Yeah,
another article I read last night, Seth Rogen has come out and said, probably a lot of the films I've done in the past, the humour is not that great. Like, you know, it's like homophobic, misogynistic. Like he said, look, I will admit, I liked Superbad. I haven't seen her in about 5-6 years.
Yeah.
But he said, a lot of humour in Superbad was homophobic.
Yeah, it's dick fart and gay jokes.
Yeah, but it's like a lot of people these days are realising, maybe we should expand our humour horizon instead of shoehorning it in to a certain...
I think it's just culture evolving. At the time when that movie came out, no one had a problem with it. It's okay. That's what culture was. We've moved on. We've realized that using certain words and talking about certain groups in certain ways isn't great. And we've moved on.
Yeah.
And it's okay.
And the thing is, a lot of people, it's not to pay out the film. So it was a film for that particular time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it still can be funny. Yeah. Like...
Oh, Bill Hader and Rogan in that film.
Yeah.
Hilarious.
And that's the thing. And I, as much as I... I gotta be careful with what I say, but these sexist, homophobic, sometimes race related jokes are still funny. And I'm not saying when people are being victimized, but comedy is designed to go into those dark places and to actually go sometimes to shock us in ways of saying, throw the mirror back at us.
Why do we find that funny?
I've talked to a joke or two recently, which is that's pretty bad. I'm not going to repeat that one.
But there's a reason when you get that feeling in your stomach and you go, I shouldn't be laughing at this, I should be condemning it. That is that fine line that sometimes, there was a patch there that Rogan and those guys were doing that. But then, then you go back to some of the things, some of the extended jokes from, 40-year-old version. The, how do I know you're gay jokes?
Mm-hmm.
Because you're this. And it's playing.
And a lot of those... I find those hilarious.
Exactly. And a lot of those are painting within the, the cliches and whatnot of the gay culture.
I think it's almost parroting the way straight people look at that culture rather than having... Because it's no reflection on the actual culture themselves.
Yeah.
It's having a go at how naive white people are... straight people are about it.
And you see, the stuff that... is it Keegan and Peele or Keele?
Keegan Peele.
That do, they do a lot of their stuff of the black guys being sort of middle class people having to then act sometimes like gangsters and going playing with that duality, the sort of stereotypical ghetto African Americans that we see, the drug dealing and the shooting and the violence, and then contrasted to the Family Guy. And it's funny how they play around with those cliches as well, of when the middle income guy has to start pretending to be a bit more gangster and whatnot. I mean, it's all playing in that sort of world.
With a kind of duality.
And I'd maybe this is going to take 5 or 10 years, but we'll just see. I like the thing about the new Ghostbusters. If it starred Margot Robbie, Emma Stone, Emily Blunt, and one of the other sort of ingenues, would we be getting the blowback, or is it this cast?
I think it's because it's not... I think all those women are hilarious comedic actors, but you're right. I think if it was if they got a stereotypically hot cast, then guys wouldn't have a problem with it.
Or if it was Seth Rogen, Franco, Danny McBride, and someone else going, we're going to turn this into a stoner comedy, would people... I reckon people would be more forgiving, and they'd be I don't know why they've remade it, but I like Seth Rogen, so who knows? He's a bit... I just think there's something inherently evil about how people are trying to take this film down.
Because it's, oh my God, it's
poor,
you know,
funny women.
No, but also they have this weird fear that it's going to, destroy their original film.
And it's going to blow up the copy that you got on the shelf.
Kirsten Wiig's going to go to everyone's houses now and destroy their...
Take the back,
everyone's
going to
melt down the action figures that you got.
Yeah,
seriously though, Kate McKinnon and Kirsten Wiig never fail to crack me up.
Kirsten Wiig's the funniest woman on the planet.
Oh man, she's like, insanely.
Like, she's up there as one of my favorite comedic actresses.
She's just downright.
Also, funny. Her celebrity impersonations are amazing.
Have you seen her SNL Bjork impersonate Bjork?
Yeah.
Bjork. Oh man, so good. She does one on Weekend Update where she's talking about like Iceland's financial crisis.
Yep.
It's amazing.
And even Melissa McCarthy, like we liked her in The Boss. She's got her moments. Like
I see a Poison Ivy and a Wonder Woman.
We're right near the two, sort of between the two comic shops at the moment, so we're getting a lot of people in costumes passing us.
Yes. We could totally do, like, shots for, like, you know, every time you see a Deadpool shot.
boozy afternoon.
I've only seen one Deadpool, surprisingly. Usually they're pretty popular.
We've seen One Punch Man as well.
All you need is a morph suit.
I've seen a Spidey. So it's a shit Spidey because it's always wearing his hoodie.
Do we want to quickly do some Read, Watch, Play, given the podcast is called Read, Watch, Play?
Yes, why not?
How about we do, if you want to kick off with any reading or play you've been doing?
You were saying that you had some stuff you were watching?
The season 2 of, Frankie and...
I know. I can picture...
And now I'm pretty bad.
Isn't it about those two older women whose both husbands both come out as gay?
With Jane Fonda, isn't it? Or
yeah, Jane Fonda and...
Someone else.
Something... God, my brain is...
Very effective.
It's Saturday morning.
Yeah.
Yeah, super effective. I have had a coffee. Yes, I will find it. No, you go first.
Alright, do you want to... Well, on a play level, I've unfortunately become Hearthstone trash again. Have you guys played Hearthstone?
Which one? No. Is that the Blizzard one?
It's...
See, I've played Heroes of the Storm, but I've never had a chance to play Hearthstone.
Hearthstone?
Yeah.
So Blizzard, the makers of World of Warcraft, and probably the people that ruined Starcraft. Your life for like 5 years, they basically made it like, it's like one of those online collectible card games, and it's...
Do you have to pay money?
You can get enough stuff for free, so I don't sink any money into it. But you know what? It's taken a lot of my time. And
it's like Heroes of the Storm. You can sink money into that as well.
Yeah.
But you get a lot of free stuff.
They're kind of moving towards that freemium model, where it's playable free, but if you want to invest, they give you the financial option too.
Okay.
But because before I got married and cleaned up my bad boy act...
Oh, you were out of control.
Did you get married like 20 years ago or something?
I was four.
I was like 20.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's not get into that.
And you were out of control.
Yes, like, correct. I was super into Magic the Gathering. Now, I know that that's quite a claim given how into Magic the Gathering some people got. I probably spent
the
a couple...
The look I'm giving you right now.
I remember it was your fiancé at the time came home and found you, and you were just on the couch under a pile of cards, and she's like, this has to stop. Pissed off.
Look at yourself.
Look at me. Get a card shuffler, man.
I joke, but look, I've always wanted to play Magic the Gathering. I think it'd take a while to learn how to play it.
Yeah, I easily blew a couple of grand on it. So when I got married, I was like, I don't play anymore. To stop the temptation of getting back into it, I gave away all my cards to people who still played.
It's almost like... it's like video games. Like you have to get a new... Like, you know, you have to get a new console.
Yeah, it's all the expansions,
with Magic,
isn't it?
Yeah, with Magic the Gathering, don't the cards not work... Every year or so?
So they cycle out. So you can always use all the cards in certain formats, but the main competitive format is called Standard.
Nice.
And sets cycle out every 3 years, I think it is, or 2 years.
My friend had a birthday recently, and two other friends of mine, she's an artist, and they painted and made a card for him, which is kind of cool.
It's so awesome.
And they framed it and everything. It's a cool thing, because he does a lot of him and his wife.
Oh, no, like, I'm nothing against Magic the Gathering. My relationship with it just wasn't particularly healthy. Anyway, Hearthstone scratches that itch.
And is it like...
I'm back down the rabbit hole.
So, like, how do you play it?
Yeah.
Is it like Magic the Gathering?
God, I'm getting, like, looks like I'm in an intervention.
No.
We haven't got there yet. We're
super similar.
This is our diagnosis. We're just trying to work out how bad it is.
Is it like...
What format?
No, that's all right.
Is it like...
Uno.
Yu-Gi-Oh? You know what? I'd say it's a hybrid between Magic and Yu-Gi-Oh! In the sense that...
Or Pokemon card game as well?
Not so much Pokemon.
What format are you playing?
So how it works is every turn you get a mana crystal.
Is this a digital game?
Yeah.
Like what are your phone or...
So it's
what
a digital card
on?
Game, tablet, computer and phone as well.
Okay.
You put like a face card down?
So how it works is each turn you get mana. One crystal of mana. So by the time you're at turn 10, you're on 10 mana, so you can do a lot more. Whereas turn one, most people can't do anything.
Okay.
So cards cost a certain amount of mana to play. You have creatures and spells, and you've got to get your opponent down to zero health.
Okay.
So lots of different decks, lots of different ways to do it, but unlike Magic, Hearthstone has a lot of luck to it.
Okay.
Which both is great when you win through Lucky Break and maddening when someone beats you.
So what do you? So is it literally just like he plays a card, or they play a card, you play a card,
yeah,
and then tip for until
yeah,
you...
So you can play more than one card in your turn, just depending on how much mana you have and how expensive the cards you
sure.
play.
Sure, and then how, and then it's all sort of the gamesmanship of how hard you want to go. And,
yeah, exactly.
And you know, you've obviously got. Is your deck a random draw, or you know completely
so
what's
you build
in your,
own
arsenal?
Decks. Yeah, there are some formats where they give you a random deck,
yep.
but the regular formats are you've constructed your own deck, and that's where the money comes in.
Yeah.
So you can earn in-game credits to buy more packs of cards,
yep.
and you can also spend real-life money to do
yeah.
that. So that said, I haven't spent a dime of real-life money on it, and I do. I'm okay.
And so you playing this, is this more of like a
like
time waster, you're waiting for the train, or is it something you sit and is it
moment,
like chess? Is a rapid fire game, or do you sort of play a card, think about it, wait,
it's pretty
assess,
rapid
or
fire.
Is it just like...
I guess the advantage of having it digital is they can time turns.
Yep.
And I played on, at the moment, I'm playing on a laptop because the tablet versions are very buggy and won't connect half the time, so laptops are a bit more reliable.
And you're playing, are you switching and playing multiple games at once, or is it you're locked into one battle
yeah,
at a time?
Yeah, so you're locked in at one at a time,
okay.
but usually they're like 10 minutes, 10 to 15, if
yep.
it's a long game. So it's...
So is it quicker gameplay than Magic?
I'd say it's about on... Maybe just a little bit quicker, yeah, just a little...
So how does a regular game go for? Instead?
10 to 15, depends on the sort of decks you're versing. Some are more aggressive and will, from turn one, will start being aggressive. Others will deliberately stall till late game
so,
and then do a lot
and
of...
And what's the pairing like in terms of skill base? Are you...
So they have pretty, I'd say, fairly good matchmaking.
So you're not getting smashed out of the, like...
Okay,
no,
so,
well, I get smashed because I suck, but yeah, but
well,
usually the decks I'm versing are comparable to what
yeah,
I
that's
I
good.
How much,
yeah.
How much cards can you use in a game?
So I think decks are 30, whereas Magic are decks of 60.
Yeah, but okay, so you,
oh,
can you
sorry.
Have like, no, no, what I mean is like, say you have, in your randomly, so many times playing this game, if you've got 60 cards, do you have to choose 30?
No, so you build a deck of 30.
Okay, alright. Okay.
Before the game. So it's, anyway, enough about me and my terrible, terrible...
No,
yeah, so I remember the name of the TV show, it's Grace and Frankie.
Okay, yes.
So Grace
yeah,
and Frankie,
okay, right.
What it is two couples in their, I don't know, 60s, 70s.
Okay.
Their husbands come out of the closet and say that they're in a relationship.
Mm.
So they obviously divorce. Now, the first season was all about Grace and Frankie sort of coping with it all and living together in a beach house that they had all, the four of them had bought.
Yeah,
as like
okay.
a couple's sort of getaway. Season two is pretty much... I didn't know if they were going to do this, but they're literally playing it directly after the first season, so like time-wise, which is kind of cool.
They did that, you know, they did a similar thing with Kimmy Schmidt as well.
Yeah.
Like, I think a lot of the Netflix series, they seem to like
so
going straight. So good.
Season one. I don't know. I think it's the fact that it's just... I said this to TJ the other day. It feels like it's a happy-go-lucky version of Broad City, and I can't handle her happiness. It's just weird.
I started watching Broad City last night. Three episodes in. It's amazing.
Yeah,
I can't
yeah.
believe I haven't watched
but
it.
Is it on Netflix?
No. Our friends came over with a... DVD of it.
I've heard of this technology.
Some sort of disc.
Yes, yes.
So they've lent us season one.
Do you feel that about though with Kimmy Schmidt? It's like a happy version of Broad City.
I feel like it's so Kimmy Schmidt is so entrenched in that 30 Rock humor.
Yeah.
Where I feel like Broad City is it kind of entrenched more in the
SNL.
Yeah, SNL humor. A little bit, but more even more so I'd say like Flight of the Conchords kind of awkward slice of
life. But 30 Rock's a distant cousin of SNL and like
yeah,
and then
course.
It all comes down anyway
that
if you've not seen Broad City you need to
I haven't I've
really
it's
I probably won't watch it but I will I like the I'm liking the concept of it anything like Flight of Conchords I'm
in it's great sorry Billy yeah so as you're saying about Grace and
no,
Frank
yeah look I mean we only watched three episodes and it was pretty great
half hour
like
sitcom
yeah,
sitcom
yeah,
length
yeah,
how do they handle the whole kind of coming out later in life because that's a thing that a lot of people...
No, it is interesting because, okay, so...
And they're not a couple, are they? The women don't become a couple.
No,
it's
no,
not
no,
like
no.
that. They're just, no, I'm just didn't know if they...
That sort of show.
No, but I didn't know if they were like they're going to start to build together as a, like...
Because
that could be interesting to say, well, can you find companionship later in life, but with a, like, same sex?
Yeah, no, it's what it is. It's like, so it's like with you and me, like, if we're mates for so many years.
Not like where this is going.
And our partners, like, sort of didn't really have a friendship.
Mm.
And, like, but it's like a sort of mutual friendship over, like, 20 years of knowing each other. And it's sort of like, that friendship has to sort of, like, become also, like, it has to strengthen.
Yeah,
like,
through a necessity of like,
yeah, totally. Especially if you have that thing in common of your partner later in life coming out. That's a fairly I don't want to say unique experience, but it's not a super common experience.
Yeah,
but
no, look, it is a bit of a dark, sort of not over, like you say dark humor, but it's not really dark. It's sort of light dark humor.
But it's an interesting thing to explore because we've seen. So many examples, like in life and whatnot, of like the 50 plus person who has been with someone for 30 years, got the kids, and then suddenly falls for the 21 year old. But when you then see, like, that's sort of from the older guy to the younger girl, or vice versa. But then when you see going to a same sex thing for the partners
it's because a lot of people older than me, if they do come out, it's because, like, you know, they really can't cope with the fact that they, you know, they've been. They've had to play straight for so long because so many years of, like, it's so much easier to come out. It's not easy, but it's so much easier to come out than it would be back then.
No,
I think
no one.
Well,
and easier once you've got an established life and you can actually say, "Look, I'm who I am, and I want to, like, you know, see out my remaining days as sort of an honest."
Yeah.
I would even go one step further. For a lot of these people, you're 60 when you were growing up. Being gay wasn't even an option or a thing.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it wasn't.
If you felt that way, it wasn't. You buried it because it wasn't.
It was always. Yeah, you're sort of shamed into, like, you're meant to be going
There's
the other way,
option,
the married
yeah.
and kids and whatnot.
So, the two characters in this, like Saul and Robert, Robert is in hospital because he's a bit sick. And one of the nurses that comes in is gay and talks about, you know, you should come to, like, bingo nights, drag bingo, and all that. And, like, Saul is all very much like, you know, they're still only just come out to public wise. And he's very much like, wants to stay in the closet, but very much like keep it not under wraps, but like slowly. Robert's like all very much like,
wait,
I want to do all this shit. Like, I couldn't do all this shit when I was younger because, you know, I wasn't allowed to because, like, you know, I'm not gay. Like, you know, I wasn't out.
Yeah.
Whereas he wants to go and enjoy life, you know, go drag, bingo and everything. And it is that. So it is all about Grace and Frankie, but it is partially about all the other characters growing as well. And I feel that handled it really well.
But what a world we... Like, what a day for television where that can get big names, like, relatively big names for, like, in terms of Jane Fonda, and can explore this and can take a chance to say, this is, like... If we're at a place in TV now where they go, oh, look, we can literally do anything, well, let's take a chance and do something.
Leads us not only to women, past, like, the age of 30.
Yeah. And they're not just playing quintessential grandmothers.
No.
They're playing strong women who are still, like, recapturing part of, like, their time as well.
I think that's so good.
Yeah, look, and I also think that type of show wouldn't be on a network. Couldn't be on a network. Could be on a paid network, like, say, for example, HBO or anything, but not actual network.
And this is the beauty of things like these new streaming services, that they're prepared to take a chance because...
Well, Netflix is prepared to take a chance on anything.
Because they can't lose anything, because you're not going to unsubscribe from Netflix because they put on one show. They're going to go, I just won't watch it. And Netflix go, we don't care, we've got you for $10 a month. I don't watch anything on it. I watch half an hour of Ant-Man the other night. And that's worth $10 to me for my month.
I wish more people were like that, how they are with Netflix, with everything else.
What, in terms of just subscribing?
If I don't like it, don't watch it. But then
we wouldn't have an internet.
Yeah,
what would we talk about?
How would those YouTube commenters...
Yeah, how would people be wrong? No, this is crazy talk. William, what are you doing?
What have you been watching, Stu? I know the answer's everything.
How dare you? Look, I refrain to comment. If you want to know what I'm watching, you can listen to my podcast.
Of course.
We like to watch.
That's
watch.
Right.
Yeah.
You guys have your own your own podcast now where you just basically see a movie, you talk about it.
We're guest starring on Read, Watch, Play.
It's like a spin-off?
No, I don't know. We've been watching... So Billy and I have been... for anyone who doesn't know about it, we've started this sort of... It's sort of modelled around... We go to...
Go
to the movies. Whatever's near... whatever's near the time that we want to rock up and just pick it straight off the board.
And so last time you guys did...
Month of Sundays. That was our last episode.
Oh, okay.
So we've done...
That air, I posted it. So
that was after Civil War.
Yeah, we did Civil War. So we've done a few now. So we've done Sherpa.
Uh-huh.
We did Civil War.
What did we do for the first episode?
But The Boss.
That's it,
Melissa McCarthy.
Boss.
So we're now, we're a few episodes in.
Which is good, because admittedly, as people have probably noticed, Read, Watch, Play has been a little less infrequent with everyone's busy schedule.
Yeah.
So it's so good that you guys have got something going on constant.
Well, and it gives us a chance to sort of like... I'm
turning into Stu now and watching more than 10 movies a year.
Yeah, it's hard. It's like cracking...
It's a slippery slope.
Like Monday and Tuesday is usually when we go and watch stuff, and it's like, it comes around very quick and you're like... You sort of feel pressured to watch stuff during the week.
Is it nice, Stu, to have someone else now on your getting closer to your level of watching a lot of stuff? Because I know there's not really many people you can talk to about.
I don't know, because I only watch films with Billy, and he's not so when I find that person, I'll let you know. This guy over here that watches one film a week, I can't.
Oh, like a peasant.
I think it's for both of us to like. Like, it's given us a little world to play in, and we're going to start to develop some new... Basically, at the moment, we sort of break it down into news, movie news, what we've been watching, and then a review. But we're sort of going to branch out into... Want to start to look at maybe sort of pulling in some... maybe some clips in terms of, analysing scenes that we love.
Yeah,
if you want to put...
Like, favourite scenes.
Some of the audio and stuff, and let me know, I can help you out.
Yeah, so we're playing of, going, because, scenes, or starting to challenge, because Billy refuses to watch Skeleton Twins. So we're going
to
start.
I've refused to. I just keep forgetting to watch.
Yeah,
I want to see it too, because I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, people go,
Hater and Wig, what's not to
like? He goes, I forgot to quit heroin. I just forgot it. I didn't I just forgot.
Whatever.
I forgot.
Whatever.
I just keep using it. I forgot that I'm not meant to use it.
I feel
it.
You might be exaggerating just a
just a slight. So I don't know. What have I watched? I watched the new Alice in Wonderland. I think I can talk about it.
Yeah,
I think.
You can. How much? Well, past the...
What are we? What's the date today?
Have we reached full Burton?
No, it's a new director. So they flicked it. I think Burton produced it. And it's sort of...
It's still got Burtonisms.
Yeah, it's just... It's weird. The first one is, so odd.
Helen Bonham Carter is still in it.
She's great. She's... As the Queen of Hearts, she's about the only redeeming quality for me, only because...
Even Deb doesn't do it for you?
He's a strange beast.
And what I mean is, I've seen that film, do you feel we should have killed his dogs?
Well... Just as a warning.
You're doing another Alice in Wonderland.
Or maybe just maim one of the dogs and then we'll finish it off. We'll see what Pirates 17 is like when it comes out next year. I don't know,
he's got another Pirates film coming out.
You know what? I didn't mind the fourth one.
I don't think I ever... I don't know. I feel like I should sit down and binge them because it's like that...
I didn't watch the fourth one because it had, what's her name, Selma Hayek.
Okay, yeah, she wasn't...
What's
the
your problem with Selma Hayek?
Her voice.
Alright, listeners, we're just going to take a quick pause here while we kick the hell out of it. What's wrong with Selma Hayek?
Just some noise.
She doesn't do the full Sofia Vergara.
Hey, you know what? I can handle Sofia Vergara, but I can't handle her.
Oh, that's... Ooh. Tough words. So, watching that. I'm off to see Angry Birds this afternoon.
Why?
So, I need to know why they've made
it. He wants to give it the Angry Bird.
No, I want to get all the Angry Birds. I just want to know why... So late into the mix,
hasn't this film taken forever to?
I think it took a while for them to actually get. Because when you think about it, the game doesn't really lend itself.
There's no narrative. That's part of the point of the game.
Yeah, just the physics, and I think
it's a physics game, and birds just happen to be the overlay there.
And it'd be interesting to see how many sight gags they can get in terms of bumping stuff that runs into something.
Yeah,
but even that, I can't think of. How many times you can go to that well? So, yeah, but there's not really... There's
Hate, look, Bill Hader's in it.
Exactly, Bill, you can't go wrong. There seems to be a pretty big cast, I think. So.
Do you think part of it, they might have been waiting to see how the Lego movie went? Because that was such a green flag for all those kinds, like turning a childhood property or game into a film, the way they nailed it with the Lego movie.
Maybe, and I think just... I still think big... I think those big franchise, like those things that, like the cross, like when it's sort of going across media, sort of, or jumping media, I think they're still burnt by thing, and I, you know, things like the Super Mario Brothers movie, like things like the like Prince of Persia, that no one's ever got, no one ever seems to go to the essence of what makes the game, and then just saying, like, why can't we just port this to a, like,
why don't we just get Jake Gyllenhaal to play a Persian guy?
But the thing is, though, it's like they make other media versions of the game. So, like, you know, so Street Fighter, for example. The Street Fighter cartoons and TV shows, I mean, they're actually not that bad. Whereas when it comes to the movie version, that's where they end up.
But the problem is that it's not. It's like how they did the web series of Mortal Kombat.
That was great.
Yeah, the maybe a film isn't the place, like an hour and a half is not the place to condense a story. Like, I would love to see a Zelda movie, but it's probably not going to happen anytime soon.
You know, I think,
well, exactly.
I think part of the issue is, right, when you're doing like a TV, like a cartoon or whatever, you're aiming at Street Fighter fans. When you're doing a movie, you're aiming it at the mass market.
So many quadrants. But I mean, the Zelda actual story would work great. I think Nintendo's never going to do it because the Super Mario Brothers burnt them so badly. But the cutscenes in a Zelda movie, or Zelda game, most Zelda games actually amount to nearly about 90 minutes. Maybe not that. It'd be close to about 90 minutes across the game. But yeah, I'm just interested to see what it's like, to how they've pulled it across. I mean, the animation, I think it's Sony's putting it out, so like I don't have high hopes for the animation. It doesn't look spectacular, but yeah, apart from that, I've just sort of been chipping away at sort of the movie releases, getting ready for sort of the American or the big summer blockbusters are sort of starting to be coming now, so we're getting sort of
we've got new X-Men film coming soon.
Yeah, I'm keen for that.
New really? X-Men, new Jason Bourne.
No, well, I've said, like, look, I'm not overly, like, I'm not going to get on midnight. I said this on the other podcast. I'm not, like, midnight screening keen, but I'll go on the Thursday or the Friday. Okay. It's like, I liked X-Men 1, I liked X-Men 2, X-Men 3 is shit. I hated the first Wolverine film, didn't mind the second one.
But everyone did.
Yeah, but like, I didn't mind First Class or Days of Future Past. I mean, they did have their issues, continuity issues and everything. But that's the whole reason for doing Days of Future Past, and fixed everything. And I'm curious as to where they'll be like this with this film.
Yeah, you know what? I liked that in Days of Future Past, they made some really bold choices, like positioning Mystique as this... the battle for the world with the battle for Mystique's soul and what side she ends up on. And I thought that was cool and a really cool way to distinguish how this is different from the previous continuity, where she's kind of just a villain that doesn't... who's just a pawn of Magneto, and now she's a main player in the X-Men. I like that, but I'm a bit on the fence, and I'm also pretty burnt out by superhero films.
Yeah, well,
and I was saying this too, it seems a bit nuts. I noticed it recently. It's like, there are so many, like...
once a month now, pretty much.
No, I mean, it's more the fact that for this X-Men film, it's like, there's been so many teasers, so many trailers, so many featurettes. And you do see a lot of featurettes coming out for films and everything. Because they used to be, you know, whenever you watch a film on TV, there'd be the, like, a half-hour special before the movie would come out.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, a lot of those are on the YouTubes and everything now. But X-Men seem to have
the YouTubes.
Yeah, the YouTubes. X-Men seems
on the internet.
X-Men film seems to have teams, and I was saying this too, it just comes across like they're really pushing all this media to get the mass market to go watch it, because I think they're worried everyone's burnt out by all the other films.
Have you missed any of the big comic book films in the past, say, 10 years?
You know what?
Like,
I'm a massive, like, I say I'm burnt out, but obviously I see all the shit.
We still do, but like, we go... I don't know, are we just part of an audience? Like, are we now just go, look, we know we're going to see it.
Yeah.
Maybe do we then, more and more I'm trying to, like, just tune out.
The hype?
Just I don't need to know, like...
how...
I think everything is such getting to the stages of known brands. that I wouldn't mind. Just I don't need to know.
Sorry, me and Crystal are looking in.
There's like a cosplay.
Yeah,
there's a cosplay. We're not sure what anime she's cosplaying.
Could be
from.
Any. She's got blue hair. That doesn't really narrow it down.
But I define, like, I don't need, like, I don't need the next 15 casting announcements for Captain America 3, 4.
No, totally.
I don't need who...
There is going to be a 4.
Oh, there'll be Captain America's long after we're gone. They're like, there's,
he will outlive us all.
There's, like Star Wars. Disney have said, well, while we're around, there'll be Marvel and Star Wars.
As soon as
being
we
made.
Can continue to make money off this property,
it is. Which is fine, but
which
I
is
just...
Disney their own.
I don't know. I just don't need... But maybe we're not... Maybe we're such a minority, like... The internet community that follows this stuff makes up such a small percentile of the people that actually turn up. Like, I think we're... Yeah, I don't know.
This is... Just on the topic of, like, superhero film, this is, like, a weird one, right? One of my friends refused to see Captain America Civil War because she was too invested. She was too worried about seeing Captain America and Iron Man fight. She was too invested in their friendship to see the movie.
I know someone that was like that a bit as well, but I'm like, go and watch it and enjoy it.
I just found it interesting how Marvel wants you to be invested, but this person is so invested that they can't see the film.
Yeah. I
can't see two friends fight.
I'm gonna cry.
It's like my parents are getting divorced on screen.
And no one was fighting because their mum's name was Martha. So, speaking of TV, Game of Thrones, you guys getting into it?
Yeah, I am. I've seen the first episode. Second episode of the new season.
Yeah.
It's good. I don't want to spoil anything.
You know what? After season 5, I was like, I don't give a shit about Game of Thrones anymore. I'm just going to wait till it all drops. Anyway, I made the mistake of watching episode 1. I was pleasantly surprised.
Yeah.
I felt like it was a return to form / season 5. You felt like the good guys were getting constantly kicked. I watched episode 2 and it was, you feel like the good guys are slowly getting in control, and you feel like we're kind of building towards a conclusion now.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
Ramsay Bolton.
Yeah,
I want him
happening.
To die.
Yeah, he's a new draw for it. But anyway, we don't want to spoil anything, but
yeah.
I'll wait for the bit. I'll pick it up on iTunes when it comes out, but I'm sort of like,
are
I don't
you
know.
Kind of over it as well? Were you feeling a bit burnt out then as well?
Like, I've read them, I haven't finished watching season 5. I just of like, I find the Galatia pace of it now of TV sometimes I struggle with a bit, like, really I've got to wait 13 hours to find out what happened. I almost want to know. I'm almost happy to go, all right, who died, what happened, where do they end up at this stage? Like, we've come up the mountain and I can see if we're led to believe that the peak is nearby. If someone came and said to me right now, oh, this is how we see it finishing up, I'd be like, okay, cool, I've eaten 75% of it. Oh, that's where it ends up. Oh,
cool.
Interesting
yeah.
take. Okay, moving on. Like,
yeah.
I think I get conditioned of watching films and you
will
sort of get...
Will you want a conclusion in a timely fashion?
Yeah, and I just go, it's not... Like, looking at, say, Lord of the Rings. Like, Lord of the Rings was, like, 9 hours all up. That's one season. If Lord of the Rings was now done as a TV show, we'd be 6 years waiting to get to Mount Doom. And you'd be like... I got a feeling we get to Mount Doom.
Yeah, like I know what's
going to
happen.
So I'm not going through 60 hours of content to get to Mount Doom.
Yeah.
And to ultimately, I think the ring is going in lava. And that's my problem with TV at the moment. I'm like, the binge culture of someone going, oh, it's when you get a spare minute, here's 13 hours of content. And oh, this other thing that's really good, that's 22 hours. And I end up going to people, oh, just tell me how it ends, because... Ultimately, I'm not going to... It's so hard to find time to invest to all these things that people are doing.
Do you think it devalues the media when you can binge it? Like Kimmy Schmidt, right? I felt that was really quality television. I finished that in like a weekend.
Yeah.
Like, this took someone like, you know, probably like 6 months or whatever to make from writing to production. I finished it in like...
But it's
days.
The low investment stuff as well. Like, you could watch... Do you have to watch every single... Like, can you watch this episode? Is it like Seinfeld? You can just jump in and out of it?
No,
or is there a narrative
It's like 30 Rock. There is narrative.
A loose... Like, 30 Rock you can watch even out of order.
Oh,
and it's
totally.
So self-contained episodes.
But I think when you get into it, you want to watch for the arcs. But you totally could watch an Iceland episode and be like, oh, that was fun.
Yeah. Mm. I don't know. I've been reading anything. You've been reading?
No, not at the moment.
What did I read last? You know what? I finally finished a book called... Have you heard of Copra, Billy?
No.
So it's by a guy called... Copra is basically... It's an indie...
I think you've mentioned it before.
By a guy called Michel Fife. He does everything himself. This comic is completely made by him. Mm. And it's got the attention of, like... The quotes on the back are, like... Brian Michael Bendis says something about how when he forgets what he loves about comics, he reads Copra and it reminds him. I think Klaus Janson says something about Michel Fife's art. So this guy's gotten a lot of industry professionals like interested, and I think he's done some work with Marvel now.
Yeah.
So anyway, I finally finished the first volume of that. It didn't grab me straight away, but by the time I finished the first volume, I'm definitely interested in reading some more.
Nice.
His art is like, it's Frank Miller-esque in the way that it's deceptively simple, but then he'll pull out like this killer pose of like someone doing like a fly kick or someone punching, and it's just masterful. Every line feels like it has a purpose, and it just looks wonderful. So that was Copra, which I finally finished reading.
Yeah.
Awesome.
What about you?
I haven't been reading much lately. I've just mainly been watching and playing. I haven't been playing anything either. Been a bit lackluster this week.
You've been watching too much. That's your problem, young man.
You've got to shift your
priorities.
You're becoming Stu.
Slowly.
To do a podcast called Watch.
Yeah. Like to watch.
Do I think what else I've been reading? I read Nameless, which is Grant Morrison's like horror thing.
Okay.
Which it's kind of like his take on the whole Cthulhu cosmic horror mythos. Without referencing, he never references Cthulhu. He makes his own mythology based off real life mythology, and it's bizarre, right. But it's what I like about it. It was bold, and it had
tentacle porn.
No,
that's good.
Then I'm out.
And Chris Burnham on art.
Nice.
And some of Burnham's art is fantastic. A couple of the big splash pages, I feel like at a glance it looks like Quietly's work in terms of the amount of line detail and nuance. It's pretty good.
Awesome. Nice, man.
All right, well, I feel like we've been talking for close to an hour now.
Yes, we have.
Well, do we want to wrap it up, guys?
Yes. I'm happy to. It's been good to get back. We're going to try and get a bit more regularly.
That'd be good. I'm keen. I always enjoy catching up with you guys, and a podcast is such like a good excuse to sit down and for an hour talk about pop culture.
Yeah, and it's like once every 6 months episodes. I think we'll probably all come together. Probably for X-Men. We might have a crossover episode of.
We like to
May 20. I think it's like 28th in America, so I think it's around probably that.
Do we get in?
26,
do we get
May 26.
Earlier in Australia because we're a good test market.
I think we're May 26 ish, like because it's not. Yeah, so
I like getting it before the US.
I know Cap, we got it early.
A week,
because I guess we're a good test market.
Yeah, I think it because they had a great opening. I think it was a million shy of Age of Ultron for the record.
Insane.
But it's good. But it is also a good film. So, which I don't mind. I don't mind if it's got to make the millions of billions, which really should have no bearing on the products. But when they're good and enjoyable, I don't care if they make the cash, because then that keeps
them coming.
Keeps the lights on.
Exactly. Alrighty. Well.
Alright.
I've been Billy.
I've been Christoph.
I'm sort of Stew.
Yeah.
Sort of like 50% Stew.
Mostly Stew.
Alright, guys. Till next time.
Bye.
You've been listening to GeekaBoss Presents Read, Watch, Play. We discussed all things pop culture, including comics, video games, TV, film, and anime.